Amen. I hope the word of God, I pray the word of God will do something in your life this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're watching on live stream this morning, we welcome you right in your comfort of your lounge room all over Australia and all over the world. We've got some wonderful families that are following us that are part of the church, and I'm just excited about that. That the truth is going out, that they are receiving truth. They're able to pass it on and into their home groups and the ministries or their families. Hallelujah. Exciting stuff. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we honor you. Papa God, we thank you. Holy Spirit, you tussle, and I know what narplamo. You are the power of grace. You are the spirit of grace. You are the spirit of truth. And Lord, I thank you that we have you living and dwelling inside of us. Your word says in Romans 8:11 that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells in us bodily. Father, we thank you that we are vessels of God, earthen vessels or saucepans that carry your presence, and you are living inside of us, O God. The truth is inside of us, O God. Father, I pray that people will not just acquire truth this morning, but they will become truth. Hallelujah. That when people see them, O God, that they will see truth. They will see the way. They will see the life. Hallelujah. That only comes from the power of the Spirit that lives and dwells inside of us. Father, I pray that we will not be just hearers of the word, O God. We are not professional hearers, O God, but we are doers of the word. Lord, in this church, we thank you that there's a happening, there's a manifestation of the power of your word that is happening in our people's lives. And Lord, I thank you. I pray tonight, today, that you hide me as you've always hid me, Lord, from people, that they will hear your voice, nothing else but your voice and your word, O God. Father, I thank you. Humbly stand before you this morning to release your word. We give you praise that you will watch over your word to fulfill it. Because your word is everlasting to everlasting. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word, O God, will go on forever. Hallelujah. Lord, you said you have magnified your word above all your name. Therefore, your word, O God, and your commandments and your law and your precepts are important to you, Father God. I pray as we see lawlessness happening inside the church, I pray, Father God, that our people will receive truth. Hallelujah. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. All God's people agreed and said, amen. Hallelujah. You shall hear the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Part two. Today, I want to speak about that. Again, this is part two of that because I believe many people have not quite grasped the word. Last Sunday, I preached on this, and as we were driving back home, Judy turned around to me and said, I don't think they got it. There's a lot of good professional listeners in the church, and I don't think they got what was released in the church. I urge you people not to just be hearers of the word. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And I got confirmation from people that said, Pastor, you need to preach this word again. Preach it again and again and again until they get it. Hallelujah. And I got confirmation that when the word was released, there was a cloud of darkness over people's eyes inside the church. I told you the devil visits the church. You think you're the only one sitting here today listening to this word? The devil is in the house. I can tell you that. There are false prophets, false teachers, devils and demons, all waiting for you and I to stumble and fall so that they can get glory for what happens to us as the church of Jesus Christ. My question is always, and it always stands, are we the true church? Are we the church that Jesus built? Hallelujah. Are we the church that started in Jerusalem? Are we the church of the book of Acts? Are we the church that truly understand the principles and the foundation of what Jesus was teaching about? Hallelujah. Not our men's doctrines or some COC or KFC or FOC or all those kind of denominations that you came out of or you belong to. I don't really care what denomination you belong to. I care about the word of God and the word that comes from the kingdom. Hallelujah. That's all I'm interested in. Because I was blinded by people that were leading us based on doctrines that were isolated from each other. Scripture backs itself up. We cannot isolate Scripture and build a doctrine around it. Amen? The kingdom of God wants you to receive the word and receive everything. Hallelujah. Confronting the spirit of deception inside the church. I want to start this message by going back to the story of King David. The Bible is hard on its heroes. While it records their great deeds, it also records their flaws and often their worst sins. David is one such hero. He was Israel's most beloved king, a military leader without equal. No one can match David, hallelujah. A shepherd boy who was fearlessly took out the lion and the bear and the giant, author of dozens of psalms and a man after God's own heart, hallelujah. That could easily bring pride inside a man's heart. That happens to Christians and pastors alike inside the church. Oh, I'm a man of God. Oh, God, I'm saved by grace. Hallelujah. Oh, I've been in church for 20 years. I don't care. God looks inside the hearts and deep inside the hearts of every man. David is a great example of that. Why did God leave that story inside the Bible? Because you and I, who call ourselves Christians, should understand the principles of this. Hallelujah. But he was also a sinner. And not just a typical sinner, but a man of God who descended into the adultery and murder. Worse than you and I, hallelujah. But sin is sin. Adultery is sin. Fornication is sin. Murder is, everything is sin. Sin is rebelling against God. Sin is ignoring God's word. Sin is not walking in his precepts, his commands, and his laws. That's sin. Hallelujah. And you can read about David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 12. All of you have read that. I urge you to go and read that. I'm not going to read this morning. I just want to go quickly straight to this and bring some really powerful precepts and foundations and principles of this. The story of David should teach us a lesson on humility to check our hearts. Hello, pastors. Amen. Come on. Hello, Amen. Deacons and leaders. Hello, Christian. Many of us walk around with a Christian title, playing the part of a Christian. The kingdom of God is not about playing the part. The kingdom of God is about living the part. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm a pastor. I got a title. I'm ordained in this. I've got Bible college graduate. I am ordained. I have been in ministry for 20 years. I've seen the power of God, blah, 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 blah. I don't really care, my friends. I don't really care what your accolades are. I care about what is inside your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am anointed by God. I am a child of God. I am a child. We sing this song. Yet it's just the outward presentation. What is inside? That's what God is concerned about. I am anointed by God. God loves me. I am okay. These are the very words that come from a Christian's mouth. Do you read Genesis or Revelation? Read Revelation again and read what God is calling those who are in him. There is no Christian in Revelation. There are only saints in Revelation. And saints are those who are marked with the Holy Ghost. Those who have the Holy Spirit inside of them. That's the mark of God. You're worrying about the mark of the beast? You have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Stop worrying about the mark of the beast. You got the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest mark you can ever have in life. Bible talks about saints more than Christians. The devil is a master of deception. If we don't recognize sin and continue to cover it up, it will become a lie. Hello, somebody. We will start to believe that lie, and we are okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not talking about people outside the church. I'm talking about Christians inside the church, my friends. And ready to discern. If we're not ready to discern error, we're just ready. All of us are ready to discern error in somebody else. That message is for that person. I wish they were here to listen to this. You know, your attitude should be, God, that's my word. I receive everything that comes from there. That's mine. I don't care about anybody, my neighbor. This is my word. Hallelujah. David wrote Psalm 51, the 51st Psalm, as a result of a profound, painful revelation of sin. I love that scripture. Every time I read that scripture, the anointing of God just hit me. I get tears every time I read that scripture. What a man. No wonder God says this is a man after my own heart, because he was ready to see something that wasn't right. We should be praying for God to send a few more Nathans into the church. Hello, somebody. Because all of us want to be king, pastors and priests and prophets and all these things. Well, I need some more Nathans inside the church. Hallelujah. And not just our neighbor whose hypocrisy we see and talk about. No. Inside the church. I want Nathans inside the church. Hallelujah. God decided, and you know who the Nathan is inside the church? The Holy Ghost. If you don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you, my friend, you are in trouble. And if you need to do it and get it right today, this morning is the best time to do it. Hallelujah. God desires truth in the innermost being and wisdom in the hidden parts of our life. If it is not there, we are false despite all the outward appearance you put on. Great clothes, wonderful dress, nice tie, doesn't cut it in the kingdom of God. It's what's inside that God is looking at. Hallelujah. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in what? Power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of man we were among you for your sake." Oh, hallelujah. Paul says, I didn't just come and preach you nice words. I came with power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, go and wait. I don't care if you know me and you've been with me for 3.5 years and you've ate with me and we've done ministry together. I don't care. He says, knowing me is not enough. Go and wait for the power to come. Go and wait for the Holy Ghost to come. Because with that, you'll be preaching some other people's doctrines. You'll be preaching your own doctrines. You'll be talking about your own little stories. You probably will be preaching from the women's magazine too. Hello, somebody. He says, go and wait. Paul says, our gospel did not just come to you in word only. It came with power. Hallelujah. The apostle's word came in power because day by day, his life was a what? A demonstration of truth amongst those he spoke to. Paul says, imitate me, for I imitate Christ. If you don't read the Bible, then read me. Oh, hallelujah. We should have truth like that in our lives when we walk. People read us. Paul was a late comer to the gospel. He had been a persecutor of the church, and in Antioch, he found himself face to face with Peter, who was one of the three, listen to this, who was closest to Jesus. The same Paul who stood before the Corinthians in fear and trembling now stood before Peter and opposed him face to face. Paul became a Nathan in Peter's life. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. It says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him in his face because he was to be blamed. Why? Verse 12 says, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. So that even Barnabas was carried away with the hypocrisy. Verse 14, but when I saw that, oh, hallelujah, I love God and I love the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost is pressing something in button in your ear right now, that's what he says. Deal with that. When I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Whoa. Wow. Strong words. Paul had observed Peter willingly eating together with the Gentile believers until a band of Jewish believers turned up, who still kept the old ordinance, amen, the circumcision thing, against eating with Gentiles arrived. At that point, Peter's behavior changed. He was a Christian before. Then when the Jews turned up, he became a Jew. Changed. Hallelujah. Peter's change was not born of love, like some people say, oh, I love them. That's why I had to be like them and be with them. And you know, no, Peter's change was out of fear. Fear and intimidation. Fear of being ridiculed, fear of being disapproved and rejection, descending into hypocrisy. Church, let me tell you something. Every lie has its root on some self-serving purpose. If you come into the church for your own self-serving purpose, you are a candidate for the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Abraham told Sarah to lie and say she was his sister. And listen to his reason. Listen to Abraham's reason. Genesis chapter 12, verse 13. That it may be well with who? Me. Me. My. Everything is about me. No, don't care about everybody else. As long as I feel good and I'm okay, just go and lie. Hallelujah. There is no freedom from temptation and the power of lies so long as there is a me involved in any ministry or any situations. Pastors, listen to me very carefully. Listen twice. Listen double time. If you're in ministry, listen. It is not about you. It is about God. It is about the kingdom. It is about the people. It is about telling people the truth. Why are you frightened to tell people the truth? Speak the truth. Hallelujah. You and I will be held accountable to every word we release from this pulpit. Speak truth. Don't be fearful of men. Hallelujah. Listen, if Peter was not immune to such temptation, we would be very foolish to imagine that we are. Why did God put all these stories inside the Bible? This is not a right, nice story. This is principles of what we should be looking at. Hallelujah. If Peter needed Paul to confront him, we would be very foolish to think that we can keep ourselves true. Hello, somebody. True alone. Can we do the right thing when nobody is watching? Amen. That's integrity. That's kingdom integrity. Amen. You can do the right thing in front of people, but can you do it when people are not watching you? Amen. Come on, somebody. Listen up. Amen. This is not a message to be mucking around with the Holy Ghost today. The Holy Spirit is serious about righteousness and holiness inside the kingdom of God. Jesus is coming back for what? A church without what? Spot and blemish. Amen. Don't use grace as license to sin. Hallelujah. If Peter needed Paul to confront him, you and I would be so foolish to think we can do this true thing by ourselves. You are here, and I am here to watch over each other. Amen? I am doing what I'm doing well because you are watching me and making sure that I do my job well according to what God wants us to do. Amen? I will not stand on this pulpit if something is not right with my life. I will gladly resign, go down and become just like yourself down there. A brother of mine took 3 months off because he noticed something wasn't right in his life. Now that's being honest to yourself. Hallelujah. Don't come and tell me I want to serve in ministry and you got something that doesn't belong to God. I told the music team, if we want the power of God to start happening inside the church, then walk holy and righteous and blameless before Him. Why? You have the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of you. You've got a Nathan that will always press all these different buttons in your compartments of life to make sure that you walk right before God. Hallelujah. When that happened, I said, God, thank you. I pray that more people will realize that. And step down from ministry if you are not right before God and men. It is not about serving God and just fooling around with the things of church. This is about the kingdom of God I'm talking about. We must be serious about the things of God. Amen. If Paul was addicted to the approval and the praise of man, he would not have confronted Peter. Hallelujah. The fear of man, the fear of rejection, the fear of ridicule has a way of turning a strongest knee into jelly. Oh, I don't do the shake leg thing now. Fear of God can do that to you. Fear of God can turn the strongest knee, strongest man into jelly. Fear of men, sorry. So don't you fear anybody. We are in the time where lies are being spread all over the world. Stop watching television, I tell you. Stop going and watching news, ABC. No, please, don't. Read your Bible. Amen. The Bible already tells you where everything is. Amen. Don't believe what's coming out of there. Only Paul, whose only boast was in the cross of Christ. who was a dead man brought back in life in Christ, could raise above and speak against whatever there was happening inside the church. Only those who are dead in Christ, only those who don't fear man can stand and speak truth. Amen. To correct people inside the church. Hallelujah. Everybody's worried about position, title, all these things. Stop worrying about that. Speak truth. Only a crucified life and not just a mere doctrine of the cross. We don't need doctrines of the cross. We need to live the cross. Only a life crucified in Christ can speak truth to people. You don't need a doctrine. You've got enough doctrines of the cross already. Now live the cross. Go and live the life of the cross. Pick up your cross and follow Him. Hallelujah. That's it. No more listening and acquiring truth of the cross. Live the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. And enable us to confront when necessary. When you walk like that, you are enabling yourself to be able to confront the Peters and the Davids and all those principles inside the church. There are a lot of Peters and Davids inside the church. We need to deal with them. Hallelujah. Many of us would like to see the Spirit of God acting as a, you know, severely with us, with those who have indulged in deception and half-truths in our own generation, as the Spirit did in the book of Acts. Let me just bring you a quick principle of the story of Ananias and Sapphira. It's a great principle regarding lies and truth. Why did God put it in the Bible? Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 37. I'm going to read through very quickly. I'm nearly finished. This is a really short presentation message this morning. Just hit on what I've preached last week. Go back and listen to what I preached last week. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, what? One heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all the things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of land or house sold them and bought the proceeds of the things that were sold. Verse 35, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each other, or each as everyone had need. Hallelujah. Wow, that's real kingdom stuff. And Jose, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Then Ananias, hearing those words, fell down and breathed. Oh, sorry. I jumped ahead. Then Ananias, hearing those words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who had those things. And the young man arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her and said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. He also lied. You know the story of Ananias. He lied. He brought some money and gave it to the apostles, but kept the rest. And you know, this is the principle. Peter says, when you sold that possession, you still had power over it. You should have kept it. In other words, if your heart was like that, why did you come and lie before the Holy Ghost? You should have kept everything and be safe from where you are now. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed at last. And the young man came in, found her dead, and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Ananias and Sapphira lived in the midst of their church, the church of Jerusalem. They saw the abundant grace, the joy, the depth of communion that the people were having, that was being experienced by the people who had given all. They desired that abundant grace for themselves, but they failed to make the connection between such grace and wholeheartedness of people who are experiencing it. They had seen Barnabas and others came and laid their gifts at the feet of the apostles. They did the same, but only in appearance only. The heart wasn't in it. They seek to obtain power and joy and great grace by bringing only part in place of the whole. You know, we seriously need to ask ourselves this. Are we doing anything different from what Ananias and Sapphira did when we seek to expect abundance of grace and power while giving ourselves only parts? Do you come to church to give your whole to God or just some parts of your life and keep others for yourself? The story of Ananias and Sapphira is about money, but it's not really about that. The principle is the wholeness of what you give. Are we here to worship God in whole? Is our compartment of our lives all given to Christ? You call him Lord, Lord. You call him my Lord and Savior. Yes, he's your Savior, but is he your Lord? Is he the Lord over your money? Is he the Lord over your life? Is he the Lord over your private life? Is he the Lord over your marriage? Those are the things that we need to understand. When being whole is not just material things. Being whole is everything inside. Hallelujah. We all want the abundant grace, profound comfort, intimate communion, and acknowledging truth, but we want it at the price, listen to me, of acknowledging truth as only what? Words and doctrine. We love words and doctrine, but we cannot and refuse to leave the word. We like it as long as it's a word and doctrine, because living it is too hard. No. The kingdom of God requires you to not just receive the word, but to be able to live the word. Be truth and the life and the way. You become the way, the truth, and the life to people. Why? Because you have Christ living inside of you. And if you live like Christ lived, as Paul said, imitate me, for I imitate Christ, then you will be cutting edge in the kingdom of God. People will see truth and know truth when they see it. We like doctrines and words, but when it comes to living it, we can't live it. We want to speak truth, but not to be true. Oh, hallelujah. We want to possess truth, but not to obey it. That's why church has become lawless inside. Oh, I've been saved by grace. I don't have to do anything anymore. Yes, you do. You have an obligation to walk righteous and holy before God. Grace brought you out into the kingdom. Into the kingdom, Jesus said, now, walk holy before me. Oh, I can do it. Yes, you can. Why? You have the Holy Spirit. Hello, somebody. Amen. We have no excuse. Those of us who have the mark of Jesus Christ in us and on our foreheads, like the Holy Ghost, we have no excuse whatsoever. Amen. If you want to start up a ministry in God and do it, you're going to die doing it without the Holy Ghost. You're going to flog yourself to death doing it without the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Spirit. We are bringing a partial, verbal truth and laying it down at the feet of the apostle's standard and wanting our portion and be accepted as a whole. Just like what Ananias and Sapphira did. Just give God half of everything we have. Just half. Little bit. Keep the rest. Devil says, yeah, I'll have the rest. That's what's happening inside the church. Hello, somebody. Don't go quiet on me. Shout and say, Pastor, thank you. I am receiving this very everything. I'm receiving it right now. I've got some good advice for you. You want to hear that good advice? Yeah. Yes. The scripture that offends your pride goes against the grain of your own understanding in your doctrine, which is likely to offend others, is the one that matters most. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you. That scripture that offends people and offends you too, that's a good scripture to keep. Hold on to that one, because it's doing some change in you. Hallelujah. We argue about the truth of the scripture to justify our own sin. Hello, somebody. People sit and argue about scripture because they have something that they're trying to use scripture to hide that. I have encountered many of people like that. And the moment you want to give them truth, they leave church. Instead of standing, becoming like the city of Lebanon, strong, hallelujah, the skin The skin is strong, but inside it's so soft that God can still reach inside and change and transform. Hallelujah. The skin is to protect the tree from the sun. That's why the Bible uses that cedar of Lebanon all the time. And that cedar, when it grows above and it grows beyond and it grows past the longest and the tallest mountains. And when you go and see where the root of that cedar is, it's not even sitting on the mountain. It's in the valley. Oh, hallelujah. That's what our life should be like. That's what our life should be like, the city of Lebanon. Strong on the outside, crocodile skin, hallelujah. Nothing can go through the back, like a turtle, hallelujah.
Hey, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, but inside, God can still reach in and transform and change, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's what our life should be like. Hallelujah. Oh, give God a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray you give us truth, that the truth will set us free, that we shall hear truth and the truth shall set us free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We argue about the truth of the scripture to justify our sins. Yes, I believe that scripture teaches except about hell. Yes, I accept that part, but I don't accept the one part of the authority. Yes. We use scripture as a buffet. We move all the salad out and eat the meat. Or move the seafood out and we eat some blood, not but something. Sorry, I'm speaking pigeon now. The buffet is, what is a buffet? Eat all you can, hallelujah. That's a buffet. When you go in there, just man, be like me, shovel from one end to the other. They bring a spoon, you bring a shovel. I'm yet. You come to church, bring a shovel. What are you going? I'm going to church. I'm going to shovel everything. I'm going to just eat everything today. Hallelujah. That's what the word of God should be like to us. Hey, all these little guys are standing there. I don't eat this stuff. I'm a vegetarian. A vegetarian is a village idiot that hasn't discovered fire. Sorry. Where did that come from? That's the truth. Receive the truth this morning. I rephrased all that. Because I'm gonna be eating vegetation. I'll be a vegetarian for the next 21 days. That's fasting now. All you guys, you love meat? Make that, today is your last day to eat meat. Next Monday, we are fasting. 21 days, hallelujah. Amen? We find it easy to give the part we are most tempted, but keep for ourselves everything else. Peter said to Ananias, Acts chapter 5, verse 4, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own, in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. If you're going to give to God, give to God. Don't sit there and go, that's for God and that's for me. If that's the way you think, then keep it. Don't bring it. Hallelujah. You're going to come and worship God? Come and worship Him. Come with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Worship Him. Not half. Leave your soul outside and bring your heart inside. Or bring your soul inside and leave your heart outside. No, God wants everything. That's why Paul says, Peter says, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own? In your own control. You still have control over that. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. There is an absence, listen to me, my friends. There is an absence in our generation, this generation, of great fear that came upon the church in Jerusalem. An absence of the awe and trembling that filled the believers who stood before God, who would not countenance a lie. It is not coincidence that this high regard for truth and this holy fear of God of truth. Where is truth? What happened to the truth in church anymore? Why are we not speaking truth anymore inside the church? My prayer is, God, if I have a plan and a purpose in your life, then use me. I said to the music team, when you're alive and well, breathing, God is going to use you to fulfill whatever it is that he's called for you to do. I said, I am not interested in playing church and just another church. I want to see the power of God manifest itself inside the church. That comes from us coming together. That comes from you fasting and praying, coming together, praying together, believing that God's going to do something. Hallelujah. There is an absence of that fear inside the church now. Every lie has its roots in the father of lies. It comes from the heart. Satan filled and Ananias conceived. That's what happened. It was a combined partnership. Ananias didn't accidentally lie. He purposely lied. Hallelujah. Ananias was an innocent victim of Satan. He was an accomplice. Ananias and Sapphira were no more innocent victims than Adam and Eve in the garden when the serpent came and offered them the first lie, "You shall not die." They reached out at the fruit that promised exaltation and equality with God. Every lie is an assertion of self, a lifting of self above the truth, the author of truth himself. That's the spirit of Satan. Satan wants to be good and be above God in everything. That's why he lies. When the devil came to Jesus, he found nothing in him. Jesus was what? Utterly true. There was nothing in him that could receive a natural lie. Everything was truth. Jesus said, "I'm not just the truth that you hear. I am it." The same thing that he said to Mary, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Hallelujah. When Mary says, "Oh yeah, we're going to resurrect. We're going to be resurrected at the end of the, when you come back." Jesus says, no, I am. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the truth. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 5 to 7. It says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Hallelujah. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man." Hallelujah. My friends, judgment of God must begin in the church. The judgment of God must begin in our church. Hello, somebody. Everyone's going, "Oh, oh." No, come on. Let the judgment of God begin in the church. God is going to judge correctly in our lives inside this church. If you're from another church, welcome. This is how we talk in this church. Hallelujah. There is a reason why judgment and not the doctrine of judgment needs to come to the church first. We love the doctrine of judgment. I don't want the doctrine of judgment. I want the judgment of God to happen inside the church. The church needs to have the light of truth shine on its own lies and illusions. Hallelujah. If you're going to plant a church, don't plant it because of some lies and illusions. It needs to have everything that was founded on unreality and nurtured in shadows brought down crashing. God is going to destroy the kingdom of Satan. Yeah. Daniel saw it. He said, "There's a kingdom coming that will destroy every other kingdom that was established by men." Hallelujah. That's why you and I are part of this kingdom and should be in this kingdom. Hallelujah. The church needs to see everything in light. What are we? Living Light Gospel Church. Everybody say that. Say it again loud and believe it. Hallelujah. We need to see everything in light. Everything including itself. Yes, I know God sees the church as the representative of his kingdom. The light of truth is judgment to everything that is not true. The light of truth. When it shines, it is judgment to anything that is not true. Hallelujah. We call ourselves Living Light Gospel Church. The Hebrew translation for light is what? Knowledge. And the Hebrew translation for darkness is ignorance. That's why Hosea said, "My people perish because of what?" Not the devil. Lack of knowledge. Ignorance is a dangerous enemy to the church. Dangerous enemy to you. If you don't study your Bible and read your Bible and pray, you are a dangerous person to your neighbor because you'll be telling him lies. Oh, hello, somebody. When I speak, I can't speak from anything else anymore except from the Bible. Even when I'm talking to my children, even I'm talking to my friends, and they say, wow, that's some sort of, that, you got great wisdom. I said, I don't have wisdom. I talk from this. Everything that I've learned from the Spirit is inside of me. So when I speak, that comes from that. That's not from some nice story I read on a women's magazine or the news, whatever thing that you read, whatever it is. This is where the truth comes from. And it should be inside of us. Hallelujah. So when you speak, it comes automatically. Hallelujah. The church is a true living light of God, radiating the light of the day of judgment, even in the midst of the world. Only such a church and such believers already living and proclaiming of the soon coming day of God's judgment can proclaim healing, brokenhearted, and restoring the sight to the blind. Only those who proclaim the truth are able to do this. We're able to proclaim healing of the brokenhearted and restoring of the sight to the blind. The light of God's truth not only changes the man's doctrines, but changes the man. God shines his light not to just change our doctrine, but he changes us. Hallelujah. Listen to this. In Isaiah. Isaiah was already a great prophet, but in the year that King Uzziah died, the Bible says, Isaiah saw something that transformed him. The Bible says, the day when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Wow. Isaiah saw the Lord in his glory, and the result of that vision was not a nice, interesting series of sermons. The man came with some power. Hallelujah. Isaiah fell down as a dead man and cried out that he was a man of unclean lips. He says, woe is me, I am undone, he cried. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. He saw God as what God sees. He saw God's eyes and see how God sees things. He saw everything that is really what God wants. And then he saw himself that he was undone. Hallelujah. Only afterwards he went out on proclaiming the words that Jesus read in the synagogues at Nazareth. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. How many of us can stand and speak this? I said to the music team, all of us, and I said, if our lives are not right before God, don't come here. Don't come and stand here and sing, worship God with your outer appearance, but inside is not right. Don't come and dance when your heart is not right with God. Don't do all those things. Amen? That's rubbing God's grace into the mud. That's cheapening God's grace in your life. Don't do all those things. Respect God. Have some respect or fear of God inside the church. Respect yourselves as well. Know that God doesn't want this nonsense of just coming to church. God wants you to leave church. He wants you to leave the truth inside of you. When you're going to come and serve, serve honestly. Serve because you don't have any other hidden agenda or anything else except open. You're an open book before everybody to serve. That's how you serve in church. There's no self. When you start operating in self, that's when lies start to creep in. Hallelujah. These are the words of hope and healing, because he was healed and restored. Isaiah was healed and restored. These are the words of judgment and wrath, because he had been judged by God. Hallelujah. God is a gracious God. God judged him graciously and said, listen, let me just sort these unclean lips out. Give me a tongue. I need God to do that to many of us in this room today. There's some hot coals need to go into people's tongue. Are we going to be commissioned and anointed to proclaim and perform what Isaiah did while our lips are still unclean with half-truths? Are we going to do greater works than Jesus did by a power less than what he had? We may be able to speak about the soon coming day of judgment, but if we are not ready, already walking in the light of that day, our words are a mockery of the truth of God. Hallelujah. Church, this is what I want to release. This is a part two of what I released last Sunday. Go back and listen to the whole series. These words changed my life. I'm honestly truthful with you. My life was like David. My life was like that. Even when I was a Christian, my life was like that. That's me, your pastor, telling you. Amen? So don't sit there and say, oh, I'm really holy. I'm better than my pastor. You're not. You're same as me. We pretend this Christianity thing inside the church. We don't live it. We pretend. We just being part of it. But God says, before you stand on this place, you go and clean yourself up. You come here. Let me clean you with some hot coals. That's why I can speak the way I speak. Because my heart is open. It's an open book for you. Hallelujah. I don't want you to hide things and come and pretend to be something. If you're going to serve God, serve. Serve Him honestly, faithfully, right to the end. Not half-heartedly. One day we see you, next day we say, where's this guy? We can't find him. When the words come from the pulpit and it's strong, receive it. Eat it. Chew on the bones and mash it up. Put it inside the cup. Drink it. Drink the bone. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? I'm passionate about this. I said, God, if this is my job, to the day you take me home, then I'm passionate about it. I'm going to make sure that our people walk in this by giving them the truth. Hallelujah. You shall hear the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. I want the music team to come. I want to pray. Be honest to God today. I don't want you to just sit there and go, I'm okay before God. You're carrying your lies with you. Listen to me. I was like that. I come to church, sit down with all my sins without confessing them before God. You want to be cutting edge in the kingdom of God, then let Him deal with some of the things in our lives. Hallelujah. We're going to have some time of ministry before we close. I want the music team to come. Hallelujah. I want pastors, those of you leaders in the house, if there's anything, ask the Holy Spirit. Remind me, show me, whatever that is inside my heart, get it cleaned up. Because the time is coming when many will fall away from the truth. The Bible talks about saints. It didn't talk about Christians or it didn't talk about church. It talked about saints. It's about the remnant of people inside the kingdom now. That's why we have to make sure that our lives are connected to God and listen to the Holy Spirit. The more you listen to the Holy Spirit, the more the conviction of the Holy Spirit is strong in your life. Amen? So if you press the little button or touch it, you know that's the Holy Ghost dealing with some things. And then you have to get up and say, God, I'm going to deal with these things today. Whether big or small, that needs to be dealt with. Amen? Hallelujah. I want you to stand. Let's worship God for a few seconds, a few minutes, and let Him deal with our hearts for now. Let's get the Holy Ghost to move and work inside our hearts today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Jason and team. Thank you, Lord. If there's something, you've got to forgive someone. See, the Bible, let me just bring this concept to you. The Bible says, if you come to worship God, and then you remember that someone has something against you. I love Jesus. The way He put things around, He gives this reverse psychology that gets us all the time. Because most of us think, I need to go and forgive someone. No. He says, if somebody has something against you, then you go and see that person and put some hot coals on his head by asking him for forgiveness or her for forgiveness and forgiving her as well or him as well. And watch what God's going to do in your life. Hallelujah. You're going to be cutting edge, double-edged sword in the hands of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we honor you. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. It is about your word. You know our hearts, oh God. Lord, this thing has been burdening me. The Holy Ghost, you have been burdening me with this thing for so long. I know we have only a short time before you come back. And our heart, oh God, as I've said, I just want to be a voice. Use me as a voice and use those around me, those who are here today, use them as voices as well to speak truth. We don't want no accolades or title. anything to do with anything, Lord. You Tasolem, you King. You are King of all kings, oh God. And we worship you as that King. You are Lord of our lives, not just one compartment of our life, but everything. Every part of our life, Lord, we bring it before you today, before your throne of grace. Holy Ghost, I pray today that you touch the parts of our lives that needs to be sorted, oh God, needs to be cleaned out. Father, I pray for the Spirit of truth. Lord, that our people become truth and not just hearing truth and acquiring truth, but Lord, they become truth. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and we give you honor. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Blood and power belong to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Can walk inside.